Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and I'm Jennifer with Dwelling Richly Bible Study. I'm glad that you are here. We are in lesson two. This is day two of Acts, and we are going to be jumping right in and just going over the very first portion of Acts chapter one together. We spent yesterday reading through this lesson's passages, which will be through chapter one and chapter two of Acts, most of chapter two, not quite all of it. And today is the day to get down and really kind of start learning and looking into more closely some of the scripture. It's actually been a couple of weeks before we've had a chance to really do that. You've done some on your own, and now is the day. Today is the day to really get in there, and the next 9 days in front of us will be those days to do that. So I'm so glad that you're with me. You've got your coffee. I've got mine right here. Yay. And you've got your Bible and whatever it is that you take notes with, pencil, pen, paper, old school, whatever it is. Maybe you're studying with a friend. So hello, all of you who are joining together, wherever it is that you are. Hey, before we get started, make sure you say hi. It's encouraging to me to see your comments and let me know what you're thinking as we go through the study. If you're watching me kind of live as we go through, you can type in something live and just say it, and then it pops right up for me to see it at that time as well. So I enjoy that. And then let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the word. We all have a lot on our plates and on our minds and on our hearts that can weigh us down and be heavy. Let's take a deep breath and get ready to get into the word and pray together. I wish I could reach through the screen and hold hands with you and pray with you right now, but you hold hands around the table with whoever you're with, or if you're by yourself, let's just think of each other and lift one another up to prayer. All right. Father God, thank you once again for your word, for your love for us. I pray, God, as we get into your word today, that you would help us to understand who you are better. And Lord, that we would trust you more. We would come to you in faith and confidence and just in love for your word. Thank you for the fellowship that we have in community doing this study together. And for those hearing my voice, I pray your blessing on them. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, to be in this study today. Give them that blessing of peace and a calm, confident mind today as they move through their business. And bless our time now together in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'll share a screen with you so you can see the lesson. And I got it working. I fix the link is what it was. I thought I saved it with the correct link, but here, this is what I was talking about yesterday, that you can actually type right in here and get started on your lesson by just typing it in. Isn't that cool? Well, those of you who like the technology and being able to do it like that, it is nice. It gives you more, it helps it come out nice and clean. And you can actually print it with all of your answers in right there. So the only thing that I find is a drawback to this is I find that I retain and learn better when I hand write. So if that's you, just go old school and hand write it in. I know for me, for sure it is. But let's go ahead and begin by writing Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this, I'll have you write here in the top of your page, just like always, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to unpack that with you a little bit more, which won't be happening too much today. We're actually going to save a bunch of this stuff for the message coming up at the end of this lesson. Well, hello, Lucy. This is my dog. She wants to say hi. Oh, let's see if I can pick her up without. Well, all right. She doesn't want to get picked up. It's kind of squirming away from me. Do you want to get picked up? You just came in and put your little paws on my legs. All right. Anyway, she's like having a toddler. Who has dogs at home? You probably think I'm a crazy person now because you don't even see what I'm seeing, but she's just looking at me. I think she smells chicken. She wants some of that chicken out there. Anyway, all right, back to our lesson. Here we go. So after we write our verse, we go to the write pages. And these are the Write the Word pages that are at the end of your lesson. And our two verses that we're going to be adding is from Acts 2, 30 and 31. I went ahead and put up verse 29 because I didn't show it to you the other day. But here's what you should have written by the end of the day today. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So you should have that written by now at the end of this lesson. And by the end of Acts, remember, you, if you follow along and stay with the program, by the end of our study, you will have written almost all of the sermons in the book of Acts. Pretty big accomplishment. Our reading today comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and then we're going to read in Luke as well. So I'll read that to you, and then we'll begin. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Listen to how Luke opens up his gospel, Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. Inasmuch as you, I love how that's one word, inasmuch. Those are the types of things I look up if I ever have to write it out, by the way. And here it is, right there, inasmuch, one word. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. He gets most excellent as part of his title, a sign of wealth and nobility, high station. Most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. All right. So that is our read portion. And now for think and reflect through this lesson. Why did Luke write this account? Now, reminder, read the day's reading in order to answer, think, and reflect. Of course, you're with me right now, so you always do that. However, some people go to this very first question and think, how am I supposed to answer that? It's because they didn't read the read portion. So we write and we read and we think and reflect. At the end, we create and share. I should write a song. Write a little poem for it. All right. So why did Luke write this account? Well, what does it say? What does it say? He says, in the first book, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. And he was writing so that he could compile a narrative of things that have been accomplished. But look at what he says here. He gathers his information from eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. And it says he has followed all things closely for some time past. Why? To write an orderly account for you, most excellent, so that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. So why does he write this? He wants Theophilus to have that certainty. He wants him to know for a fact exactly what is going on. All right. Thank you, Luke, for doing that, right? I'll see. Here's Lucy again. She's right at my feet. It's kind of bugging me. What are you fussing around for? Anyway, okay. Do you think Luke's reason in writing to Theophilus is true for readers today? Why or why not? Do you think readers today have that need for certainty? Do you think people want to know for sure exactly what happens? What do you think? This is one of those opinion questions I like to ask. And I guess I could share my opinion, but I'd rather hear yours. So share it with me. Go ahead and jot it in the comments on YouTube or Facebook or podcast, wherever you're listening. Do you think Luke's reason in writing to Theophilus is true for readers today? Do people want to have certainty? Do they really want to hear from eyewitnesses? What do you think? Yes? No? Write it down. Let me hear from you. All right. Let's take a look at Luke 6, 12 through 16. And we want to understand what an apostle is. In these days, this is back in Luke's account, remember? In these days, he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray. All night he continued in prayer to God. And when he came, he called his disciples and he chose from them 12. So big group, disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So chapter 6, way early on in Luke's account, he tips our hand and he lets us know kind of the end of the story. So what is an apostle? What is an apostle? An apostle is someone that was called out from the bigger group of disciples. Disciples were followers, apostles. They were called out by Jesus, specific group, and they become the apostles. All right. So review Acts 1, 2 through 3, and look for verbs and extra information about what Jesus did. And again, we're back up here at Acts chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. And hit that up there in the first book, and we're going to look for verbs, things that, what is Jesus up to? What did he, what is he given? What is he presented, appeared, and what is he spoken about? So here we go. He began to do and teach everything that Jesus began to do and teach. And here we go. Until the day he was taken up, and that's something that happened to him, after he had what? Given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gave commands, he chose apostles. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them for during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Lots of ings in that portion of things that Jesus is doing. What did he give, present, appear, and speak about? He gave commands to the Holy Spirit. That's what he gave. What did he present? Well, he presented himself with many proofs. I mean, we know the story, famous story, showing, you know, the holes in his own hands, eating food in front of them, appearing here and appearing there, miraculous signs and things like that. And then he spoke about the kingdom of God during that time as well. All right, so always notice what happens and also think about what didn't happen. I tell you this all the time. Read with a thinking mind. Don't just read to get it done. Think and ponder and question. God allowed this to happen. Wow, he could have done this. He did this instead. Think. Notice what happens. Also think what didn't happen. Think again about what Jesus did to provide many proofs. He didn't have to do that. Why do you think he did? What benefit is that to you today that he did? What benefit do you get from Jesus giving these other people the many proofs? I'd like to hear from you about that. I mean, this is a little bit more of a personal opinion question as well. I have my thoughts on it. I am going to be speaking a little bit about this in my next talk, but I'd like to hear from you. Why? What benefit do you have from that Jesus did decide? I mean, he didn't have to. So why do you think he did? And what benefit do we receive from doing that? Go ahead and take a moment to pause listening here and discuss that with the friend that you're studying with, or just write it down yourself if you're studying on your own. Let's take a look at Matthew 28. I assume that you are back now. 17 through 20. And as we, let me go ahead and read that. As we read this passage, what are two responses to seeing and hearing from a resurrected Jesus? Some did this and some did that. And then does this surprise you? And then it does me. I don't want to read more than that. I'll give it away. I want to read it first. Here we go. Normally, I like to read the whole question, but this one kind of leads you along a line of reasoning. I don't want to do it quite that fast. Here we go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. This is the resurrected Christ. This is the end of Matthew 28, the last chapter of Matthew. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." All right. So some, what are two responses to seeing and hearing from a resurrected Jesus? I mean, come on. They are seeing, they saw him crucified, buried, dead, resurrected. Here he is before them, resurrected Jesus. Somewhat, what does it say? All right, good. Some of them worshiped him, but some doubted. Folks, have you ever had someone say, "If I had seen Jesus rise, I mean, that would be a proof, but no one, I didn't see it, so I don't believe it." Oh, doubting Thomases persist to this day. The same thing happened back then. Just because they saw it doesn't mean that they believe it. Some people's hearts are soft and some are hard. No matter what you do, you could rise from the dead and they still won't believe, right? Does this surprise you? It does me. I mean, you'd think that if you actually saw Jesus dead, then alive again, you'd have absolutely no doubts at all, and yet some doubted. How are people, maybe even you, like this still today? Again, a personal opinion, thought-provoking question that I would like to hear from you about. Lots of stuff for you to drop in a comment and tell me what you're thinking on this, or take a picture of it and post it on social media, those of you who are. And let me hear your thoughts on this. Are you like this today? Do you have an intellectual understanding of the truth of what God has done, what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and yet you still doubt? Is that you? It is me sometimes. I think all of us can go through that, right? All right. So how many days was Jesus walking this earth after his resurrection? Who remembers? Write it down. Easy. That's an easy one. That's a giveaway. 40 days. Good job. All right. What did Jesus do with his apostles, with apostles during this time? And what does this say about Jesus' priorities? What did he do during the time that he resurrected, Jesus had returned and was with them? He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. There's your answer. And speaking about the kingdom of God. What did he do for 40 days? He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. 40 days. What did he do? Say it again. Write it out. He spoke to them about what? The kingdom of God. You got that now? All right. What does this say about his priorities? I mean, again, trying to get you to think what he could do, what he did do, and what he didn't do. He could have spent his time doing anything. In 40 days, being with his disciples and everybody else who would have come to see him, his apostles in particular. But what did he do? He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And what does this say to you about Jesus' priorities? I really, really, really want to hear from you about this one in particular. Tell me what you think. Drop it in those comments. Text it to me, Facebook it to me, Instagram it to me, tag me in it, whatever you want. I want to hear from you about this. This is going to be an important part of my message coming up at the end of this lesson when we get together again. All right. This has been a good lesson. I've enjoyed being with you on this, and I have especially enjoyed because I know you're going to be dropping those comments in. You know, it's wonderful for me to see you here, to know that you're there, and I can pray for you by name. And so that when we meet together again, I will have been praying and thinking about you, doing your study. Tell me who you're studying with today, if you're with a friend, and what you're doing together. I know some of you get together and do a couple of lessons at a time, so good for you. All right. It's been great being with you, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Until then, know that you are always loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.